Hello and welcome to Talking Europe. Our guest today is one of France's most prominent commentators on European affairs and global trade issues. Pascal Lamy is coordinator of the Jacques Delors Institutes, named after the visionary of European integration that Mr. Lamy worked with closely in the 1980s and 90s. Pascal Lamy was EU Trade Commissioner in the early 2000s, and he served two terms as Director General of the World Trade Organization from 2005 to 2013. He's also Vice President of the Paris Peace Forum and has numerous books to his name about Europe, geopolitics and geoeconomics, global governance and related matters. Welcome back to the programme.
Thank you very much.
Let's talk about these trade tariffs and the situation between the US and the EU. Perhaps a naive-sounding question, but is there actually anything for the EU to negotiate with the Trump administration?
That's a very good question, because the EU has two options. One, which is to try and negotiate. And the second is, if that doesn't work, they will have to retaliate. Now, this question is for Mr. Trump. Is there anything which you believe would ease transatlantic trade relations and which we could negotiate together? So far, as far as I know, there is no US answer to this question. There have been repeated trips by Commissioner Sefcovic to Washington to try and identify some sort of negotiating corridor. What are you looking for? I can tell you what I am looking for. Then let's structure some sort of trade-off. Zero signal on the US side for the moment. The EU is ready to zero all industrial tariffs.
To come back to zero for everything.
Zero, of course, under the condition that the US would do the same. For the moment, Trump says no. So this puts into question the sort of whole credibility of what is the US looking for. Trump is creating a chaos for two reasons. First, US tariffs will harm the US economy, which in a second round effect will harm the global economy. And that's a problem. And we've seen the recent forecast of the IMF, which is minus 1% as compared to January for the US economy, which is roughly more than one third of the US growth. And then you have the impact of uncertainty, of unpredictability, which Mr. Trump professes himself. That's the right way to negotiate. Be unpredictable. As we all know, investors, the economy, households don't like uncertainty.
And if there is no deal, presumably this whole dispute will go to the World Trade Organization. But a lot of people are saying the WTO that you were director general of has become toothless because of the lack of judges on the appellate court and so forth, all these problems that have accumulated since you left the organization. So would it be in any position to resolve a dispute, actually?
You're absolutely right. The US are now out of reach of the WTO dispute settlement system. It is maintained because the EU has set up a sort of patch, a sort of parallel system, which, by the way, is working, but not with the US. So that means that if the US maintain tariffs that clearly violate their WTO commitment, which is the case of each and every daily announcement which Mr. Trump has been doing since the 2nd of April, countries will have the right to retaliate and compensate dollar for dollar, euro for euro, renminbi for renminbi, the damage which the violating measures Mr. Trump has taken against Tanaka. You are allowed to offset with compensating the damage by another damage which you impose on the US economy. This is bad. At the end of the day, it's a lose-lose game. But there has to be a price for a country who belongs to an international organization, who has taken firm commitments in order to build a serious credibility vis-à-vis economic agents, and who departs.
And if there's a price to pay, do you think the Eurozone is willing to pay that in terms of lower growth, perhaps? I mean, we have these forecasts from the IMF, only 1.2% growth predicted for next year. It's looking very sluggish in Europe, despite the fact that the European Central Bank has cut its interest rate. But, I mean, the outlook in the Eurozone is not particularly good.
You're absolutely correct. And I already had to do with at a much smaller scale issues of this kind when I was European Trade Commissioner in the Middle Ages. But there is a zone where you can retaliate in pinching the US without shooting in your own foot. This zone is not unlimited, which is why, by the way, this time, if there had to be retaliations, it probably would not be just on goods, as it has always been, the usual candidates, Harley-Davidson, Orange Juice, or Kentucky Bourbon, which were already in my list at the time, because they are geographically very focused.
They were in your list when you were trade commissioner.
Absolutely.
Already. Yes.
And because they are produced by a place where there are congressmen and senators who are very adamant that the local economy thrives. And then we probably would have to go, and that would be a first, into retaliations in services, which is a much more complex area, whether it's financial services, where the US have an extremely large position in Europe, or digital services, where it's the same. So that would be new ground to be covered.
Let's bring things back to France a bit. The Court of Auditors here has said that France has hit a wall with a debt that will reach 120% of GDP in 2026. That must be very limiting for France if it wants to be a credible actor on the European level and perhaps to do more things with Friedrich Merz, the incoming German Chancellor.
No, I agree with you.
Yeah.
This is the Achilles heel of the French economy. Too much debt in absolute and as compared to its neighbors in Europe. So we have a problem. I often remind myself that I entered into professional life in 1975. Not that this deserves the specific celebration, but the French Republic hasn't had one balanced budget since 1975. And that's not normal. So we really have, at some stage, to bite the bullet of reducing public expenditure, given the level of taxation which we have, and which is if not always the highest in Europe, at least a very high one. So this is a problem. And French politics and the French economic culture and the French budget culture is a very big obstacle to this. We will need a lot of public opinion messaging to change what we call in French l'esprit public. Public mood in France is pro-expenditure and against taxes.
Yeah,
we've seen the results.
So actually, these budget deficits have been the new normal for 50 years now, in fact.
Absolutely.
Mentally.
And this is, and when you get accustomed to this sort of drug, getting out of that is very complex. And when you look at where political forces are in France, none of these political forces is really has a strategy to do that. Some would like less taxes, Some would like less expenditure. Some would like more expenditure. Some would like more taxes. Yeah. There's nothing like a consensus.
Yeah. We're running out of time, but I did want to get your thoughts on one final point. I said in the introduction that you worked closely with Jacques Delors. What do you think he would make, if he was still alive today, of Europe's attempts to become a geopolitical power when you look at its attempts to spend more on defence or provide security guarantees to Ukraine? What do you think he would think about all that today?
I think, and I'm reviewing the prints of a book which will be published on the 100th anniversary of his birthday in next July, which is to be published by Edition de Jacob. The answer to your question is there. Reading what he wrote in the 70s, 80s, 90s, and even after when he left Brussels, he would say the world has changed. Europe needs to be more powerful. Whether we like it or not, this is a necessity which is imposed by the context. We will not become more powerful if our economy is not stronger. So the first step to political power is to reform our economies, exploit the untapped huge potential of the internal market in many areas. This is a sort of necessity. Then, of course, more investment in defense, I think, is now a no-brainer.
We'll leave it there. Thank you so much for being my guest, Pascal Lamy, former Trade Commissioner of the EU and former Director General of the World Trade Organization. Glad you could watch us here on Talking Europe.